Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's Esther Davis on a beautiful, beautiful day. And I'm waiting for my guests to log on, Doug Burton and Magna from Washington, D.C. Stay with us. Give us some information. Chime in. Talk to us. We're on several channels on television, and I am your host, Esther Davis. Doug Burton will be joining us shortly, but you can also join us. And I am emailing Magna just to give her a heads up in Washington, D.C. also. This is a special, special program about what's happening in our world, more expressly what's happening in Nigeria. Nigeria is one of the conflict zones where a lot of our friends have family, and in that family setting, they get a lot of information about Africa and about Africa's dividing lines. So, wanted you to join us because our world would be better with you in it. Esther Davis here, 214-376-9000, and the other, you can email us if you're sitting at your laptop at the moment. Just give us a buzz, laptop, give us a buzz on the phone, sorry about that, or give us the email. The email is Esther, E-S-T-E-R, Esther Davis 2000 at gmail.com. I love Blog Talk Radio. I hope you will remain one of our friends and stay with us for as long as we're here. And we plan to be here for a while because a lot of my clients and a lot of my fans remember our television show, our network television show. But now we're with CFN, which is internet shows, internet TV, internet radio. And that would be CFN and BPEN all over the world. Roku is coming right up, so we are moving and progressing and doing wonderful, wonderful things. Today is May, and the month of May, we've had a lot of rain here. So today is May 9th in Central Time, about 9 o'clock in Dallas Central Time. There is a new company that I want to say hello to. That's Reason Media. Reason Media, then the International Leadership School, where I spoke last week. The teacher there was Miss Doris Eli, and, of course, one of my very good friends from the Children's Academy. That would be Doris Bogus. So stay with us. And, again, if you want to call in, I probably gave you the wrong call-in number. My assistant is saying, that's the wrong number. Okay, you can join us at 605-313-5763. Art is one of my passions, so if there are any artists out there that are doing great work, art shows in New York, art shows in Miami, wherever the art show is. There's one in Dallas, Texas, at the African American Museum coming up the end of this month. And I'm reaching for something right now because that's the other thing I look at about Blog Talk Radio is the fact that we can just talk anytime we actually feel like it. So the number is 605-313-5763. Africa's world, the world Africa, dividing line. One of the magazines printed last week, I think, 25 years after Nelson Mandela was first elected, the country remains two unequal nations. We've had a lot of calls about Africa, especially Nigeria, because there are friends, as I mentioned earlier, in Nigeria. So I'm going to give a call to Doug Burton with Prayer News Network. And here we go. If you're looking for something to do and conversations to have, then this is an excellent opportunity for all of our worldview audiences, because Blog Talk Radio will put you there. My trip to Korea, we haven't talked about that yet, but we are going to give a conversation with some of our friends in Korea. This is in South Korea at the World Summit. Ended the World Summit in a couple of months ago. I'm still unpacking some of the material that we received, because it was so much. And it was a very, very intense, engaging conference. We talked about several things, heard a lot of speeches, but most importantly, you know what's most important? We had the opportunity to meet so many people from around the world, heads of state, some of the former officials from the United States actually attended this summit. So summertime is coming up. We have an awful lot of activities, and we want to hear from you. Someone just logged on. Good morning. I am Esther Davis.
Good morning, Esther. Doug Burton here from Washington.
Doug Burton. BurtonNewsAndViews.com.
Yes.
How are you? What do you have? You have any great news for us today? I did just send a message to Magna. So hopefully she will join us also.
Great, Esther. It's always a pleasure to talk to folks in my home state of Texas. We're looking for good news about the nation and the world. Unfortunately, there's a lot of disturbing news from Africa, and in particular the nation of Nigeria, where we've been following for several months the course of the Nigerian insurgency known as Boko Haram,
mm-hmm.
and the dozens and dozens of attacks from militarized bandit gangs that have been striking civilians across the nation outside of the Boko Haram insurgency. The other attacks have been done by this group, an ethnicity known as the Fulani people, who are very numerous all over Africa.
Okay. And you have been following this with print. I know you just did a story with one of the Kansas City papers. You have friends in Nigeria. You're so well connected in Nigeria. What can we do to help? Where should we go from here?
Well, I think the first thing we can do, and the easiest thing to do, is just to make ourselves aware of what's happening by finding news and spreading it.
Yes, Magna, can you call in and join us on the conference call this morning? Thank you. Okay. I just received a phone call from Magna. My apologies.
Okay.
The awareness, that's the one thing that we talked about last week, and I think that is the key, Doug.
Okay, you know, the word is getting out. Americans have a lot of things on their minds these days, on the prep year for the presidential campaign of 2020. So they're following national politics. But, of course, we should be concerned about national security threats abroad.
So, oh, absolutely.
From Al-Qaeda or from Islamic State. And Islamic State, fortunately, is underground and largely defeated in Iraq and Syria. But it still maintains organizations and is virulent in several countries. And in one country in particular, Nigeria, it has a branch organization, an affiliated group called Boko Haram, which is very dangerous and has claimed many lives. Now, interestingly, last night I was at Georgetown University, and
mm-hmm.
Boko Haram was the topic of a superb dramatization called Chibok Girls. And it was...
What is it again? Cheap out?
The name of the drama, which was an original dramatic presentation with dance, was called Chibok.
Oh, Chibok.
Chibok Girls. And it was... Not only that, but attended by the Nobel laureate, poet and writer, Wole Woschinka, who gave a reading of a new book of poetry called Chibok, A Humanist Manifesto. And after the performance, Woschinka also did speak about the current dilemma and malaise and the meltdown of the Nigerian government. So there were some current issues, not only about the Chibok girls who were kidnapped in 2014, and some of them are still being held by Boko Haram.
Oh, that is too sad. We've been hearing about this for many, many years now. And I thought possibly things were getting better, but the awareness program. So finish telling me about Georgetown, because I'm interested in what happened.
Well, of course, Georgetown is a premier university, and their drama department is superlative. This was a wonderful original dramatization done by a Nigerian playwright. And it took more than an hour, and it was wrenching and it was exhausting, but it was fascinating because the young women who were portraying the Chibok girls were telling us background and telling us about the ironies and the torturous situation of the victims of these onslaughts that we would never get from news stories. And we got tremendous depth and a sense of complexity that you simply cannot get from television news or wire service news.
Well, I think that's one of the problems, because we don't hear very much about what is happening in Africa, because our mainstream media does not pick it up, and they definitely don't do it in a consistent or with any sense of consistency. What are your comments about that?
Well, exactly right, and you know, it's relevant that a friend of mine, Dr. Matt Daniels, who is a professor at Institute for World Studies in Washington, D.C., has written a column, which I think will be published soon by a newspaper, and it's about reaching out to citizen journalists, reaching out to persecuted people in other countries. And the column points out that you and I are one of the forerunners of this, because we have set up calls between respected ministers such as Dr. Martin Hawkins to persecuted Christians in North Central Nigeria, who are going around the mainstream media, who are telling their stories and giving very important facts about the genocide against Christians that's been going on for a couple of years.
Well, it's interesting you should bring up Dr. Martin Hawkins. I picked up a phone call, a voicemail actually, last evening, and one of his instructors, Doug, at the school, told me to be sure and pick up my mail today, because they had mailed me an article that was printed, I'm assuming, in Time magazine. And I've only read a portion of it. In fact, I have it here with me, but it is an article on Africa. Of course, it's in Time magazine. For audiences that are listening, this week I don't have the front cover, but it talks about Africa being a divided country. It's world news. So now I haven't gone through the entire article, because it appears to be about 4 or 5 pages. But it talks about the affluent suburbs of Cape Town. It talks about the poor, poor people, and the country still being a country of two nations. So nothing has basically changed.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm trying to
good that Time magazine did this story. And, you know, another thing that we could do, Esther, is talk to our Nigerian friends, because we are being in Dallas and I'm in the Washington D.C. area. We are surrounded by many migrants from Nigeria, and
absolutely,
these are people we may not recognize or might not realize that the person we're talking to, who might be a teacher, might be a doctor at the hospital, might be an academic at the university, is from Nigeria, because, you know, they may be people of color, but there wouldn't be any obvious sign that they are from Nigeria. But there's up to 1 million immigrants from Nigeria, and there are concentrations of Nigerian immigrants in Dallas and in Washington, D.C.
Oh, there's a concentration
all around
in
us.
Houston, all over the state of Texas.
Exactly. So these are great people, and they are high achievers. They value education. And that's one of the points that comes out in Chibok Girls that we saw last night at Georgetown University.
Ah, mm-hmm.
The girls who were kidnapped by Boko Haram were very ambitious, and they were warned many times. They were warned not to go to school. They wanted to go home. They were extremely afraid. They were in anguish because they had been threatened by Boko Haram, but their teachers and their parents forced them to go back to school, where they were finally kidnapped by the terrorists. And the reason their parents pushed them to go back to school is they saw that knowledge was empowerment, and that was the only path, you know, for being a success.
Absolutely.
Our Nigerian friends who have come to the United States are pursuing and achieving the American dream. But it would be good for them to join us in raising awareness by raising their voices and appealing to their local lawmakers in Congress, in the Senate. That would help a lot.
I wish you would. We're going to talk about that a little bit, because that's one of the questions, I think, that comes up quite a bit. Someone else just logged on. It's Esther Davis. Good morning.
Good morning. It's Magna,
how in the world are you?
I am very well, and thank you for having me.
Oh, you are most welcome. We're into a very exciting conversation with Mr. Doug Burton from your part of the United States. Good morning, Doug. Here's Magna.
Good morning, Magna Faith.
Good morning, Doug. Great to connect with you again.
He was telling me about a play that he attended last night at Georgetown University. It was very engaging, and it had all of the emotions tied into it. But the ending conversation that Doug had was, how do we get our Nigerian friends here in these states who are well-connected, I might add, and who run businesses and well-educated, how do we get them to make the appeal to their legislation, their congresspeople, their state representatives? And we can get a firsthand answer from Magna, who is from Nigeria. What do you think about that?
I'm sorry, I didn't really get you correctly. Can you repeat your question again?
Okay, speak up just a little bit for me, please.
Okay.
And just repeat what you said.
Yes, can you repeat what you said? Because I didn't get you clearly.
Well, we were talking about how to engage our elected officials. Because we have, as Doug mentioned, about 1 million Nigerians in Houston. I'm in Dallas. I have friends that run businesses in North Texas, and they're well-educated. They're Nigerians. How do we get them engaged, and how do we get them to connect with their elected officials, their state representatives, their congresspeople?
Yes, Esther, I think by, you know, ensuring that you have engaging programs that would attract and, you know, keep them engaged. Houston is a very diverse community, and it's imperative, it's important for us to understand that, you know, there's different programs that fascinate or attract, you know, different groups of people. And so we want to develop programs, and we want to make available programs that will resonate, you know, with, you know, certain groups of people as it crosses, you know, different demographic. Now, with the Nigerians in Houston, we understand that they're very educated people, you know, they're very driven, they're very passionate, and they're go-getters. They're more about, you know, making it, you know, making some income, making money and sending back home, or, you know, providing, you know, a better life for their family. So they're not necessarily as interested in, you know, social affairs, you know, economic development, conversations, and more. In order for us to get them to become, to connect with, you know, elected officials and more, we're going to have platforms, again, events, programs, conversations that were, you know, that were, you know, be of interest to them, that would be relatable to their everyday life. You know what I mean?
Well, not exactly, because if you say programs of interest, wouldn't their country be of interest to them? If we're covering, if we're covering something here in the United States, and we want to raise the awareness, we have this human spirit that's embedded in all, I think, all humans. But two questions I have. One is that wouldn't they be interested in their country? And I have a group over here, and back again to Texas. We have Ethiopian groups. We have Indian groups. We have, oh, my, I'm in the middle of a Hispanic country, and we have large Hispanic groups here. We have Hispanic chambers. There are three Hispanic chambers in Texas alone. So I go back to just a question that that piques my interest is, if we had a platform here, would your countrymen be interested in doing things for their country?
I mean, naturally, they should be interested, but unfortunately, the narrative is, you know, that anything that has got to do with Africa, unless, you know, someone is, you know, benefiting from it, you know, in some sort of way, they don't necessarily want to talk about Africa.
Oh,
that's the narrative that is out there. And so they're, you know, they're guarded and they're not necessarily interested. It's like, you know, they're giving up hope on, you know, people genuinely being interested and wanting to make a change, you know, in Africa. So we need to find a strategy or a roadmap to ensuring that we can show them, you know, the sincerity and the genuinity wanting to, you know, bring about change, not just change, but lasting change, sustainable change, you know, issues that are arising in Nigeria.
Well, there's no better time like the year of a national election. We need to talk about this. We need to keep the conversation going, because in the year of a national election, especially this year, and I'm only talking about the number of people that are running for president, and the platform, their platforms are still being born. All of the candidates, and I think there are more than 20 right now, that the last I heard, but they have platforms. So this is the ideal time to get Liberians, and I'm just talking because this is a talk show. This is a conversation about the human spirit. So we can galvanize those countrymen from America and the country of Liberia, I'm sorry, of Nigeria, to get them involved.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think that's a cheat date. I think that's a given. Because
I think that's a given.
It's not a political
I agree.
Year. If it's not a political year, it's going to die down a bit. But we've had the opportunity, the great opportunity, and this is just as today is talking, of 18 months of constant campaigning where we can put in a platform. Doug Burton is awfully quiet, and this is totally unlike him. You must be thinking very heavily.
Esther, thank you, Esther. I'm taking it all in. I'm just learning. I'm learning at the knee of these erudite women. One who is
please.
A subject expert on Nigeria, and the other is an expert on public broadcasting and communication. So I think this is a great topic. I'm not sure that we have a lot of time, but I agree that the issues coming out of the Nigerian conflict are highly relevant to our campaign, because one of the core problems or the issue in Nigeria is, what is the identity? What's the core identity of being a Nigerian? And I think the success of the insurgency with radical Islamist origins, whether it be Boko Haram or whether it be the Fulani militias operating in the far western part of the country. Well, the issue there is that is the core identity. Both of these, and this was illustrated in the Chibok Girls dramatization last night at Georgetown University,
mm-hmm.
both of these appeal to the caliphate and the Quran and the ideology of Islam as the basis of identity in Nigeria. And many young men and women are attracted to this because they want to be proud of themselves and they want to be proud of their past. And I think that the issue of identity is key in the culture wars that we're going through in the United States. The defenders of the politics of identity politics are in the Democrat Party. But in the Republican Party are many people who are insisting that our core identity is not in race, it's not in ethnicity, but it's in the ideas that were expounded by our constitutional founders 250 years ago. And our core identity is a set of ideas about freedom and about what a human being is. It's not based upon Christianity, but it's very much influenced by the ideas that we've received from Judeo-Christianity. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree, because and that's my voice is giving me problems this morning, but that was the human spirit that I think every human has, irregardless of what country you're from. There's an inborn talent put into your soul where you want to do the right thing. And especially with Americans and at the border situation that we have here, the people that come to the borders in Texas have such a determination and a spirit about them to get into this country.
Absolutely.
And they go, and this is a daily, we have lived with this phenomenon for years. It spurs up, it has an insurgency, and it dies down, but it never goes away. But I have learned that when you're persistent about a platform, you do make it better, and the people do that, not our government. One of my favorite things to say is that we the people determine what goes on in this democracy that we live in. And I've seen it happen too many times. And you know what? It happens because of shows of awareness like what we're talking about right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there's no argument there. I think, you know, that's a bipartisan position. Democrats and Republicans will agree that we
yes.
are a nation that that holds our government accountable. At least I hope
Absolutely.
I hope we do. And I think that that is a problem in the in the minds of many Nigerian voters. There was a very disputed election just concluded a couple of months ago. I don't know what Magna thinks about this, but Americans take a lot of our freedoms and our modus operandi for granted. It just doesn't exist in other countries. In Nigeria, democracy is just emerging or it's blighted.
Absolutely. And today, as we see, the sheer intensity and velocity of change challenges our assumptions about the nature and structure of social reality. And honestly, these questions confront us daily. And I would say for me, it would be like, what is the source of our identity? You know, where should our attachments, where should our loyalty lie? You know, and if our identity, you know, so impels us how and with whom should we come together, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Are we coming together on the basis of religion? Are we coming together on the basis of patriotism with regards to our origin? Are we coming together on the basis of our faith? You know, are we coming together on the basis of, you know, social organizations or what? You know, what is the nature of the bonds that bring us together as a people?
Right.
You know, and this developing conception, you know, is always about, you know, what purpose are we existing? You know, how should we live our lives? You know, should it be on the basis of impulse of human consciousness or what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we need to reevaluate, you know, the essence of our existence and the essence of our collaborations and our, you know, conversations, our discussions, our cohabitation, you know, and that's where I'm at right now.
Wow. Well, we have, you know, we probably need to get some more airtime here because we now have a hot topic conversation going on. And that is what we want to do with this show between the awesome threesome, or the big three. I'm going to call us the big three, the big three, because we can make a difference. So let's pick this up next time when we talk, and we want, the question would be, and we'll start the entire conversation off with, what do Americans want? What do Nigerians want? And do American people vote? Because we don't really vote over here. We just ended an election. So you have one country that does not meet its highest expectations in a democracy voting, but does the Nigerians vote? And what is their vote going to be for in the 2020 election? I'm listening to you very clearly.
Back very here. Good question. By the way, sir, when are we going to talk again? Are we going to talk tomorrow?
At the moment, we have 2 days set up, and I think it's Tuesdays and Thursdays, so we talk again on Thursday. But our consensus is that if we have breaking news, we will log on to Blog Talk, and that is the perfect storm because we need to be able to talk whenever there is the high spirit, whenever there is breaking news. And I hope you agree with this. But right now we're talking every Tuesday, every Thursday at 9 o'clock Central Time, 10 o'clock Eastern Time. And it's a 30-minute show, so 30 minutes goes by extremely fast. Magnus, what's the question for next show? What do you think we're going to talk about next time? And then I'll ask Doug the same problem, the same question.
I like the fact that we're talking about, you know, the conflict in Nigeria and how that, you know, the diaspora and community are reacting and responding to, you know, news as it breaks
Okay.
in the future and, you know, just correlating both worlds. I think that's a very great angle.
Well, that's where we start next time. We're a little bit over, but it was worth it, completely worth it. Thank you, Mr. Douglas Burton, and thank you to
Magnell
Faith. And this is Esther Davis. We'll see you next time. Look for it.
Thank you. Okay.
On blogtalkradio.com.
Till Tuesday.
Yes.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank
now.
You, everyone.